Power your next journey with True North Convenience Stores and Monster Energy. Stock up and stay energized when you grab two of your favorite Monster cans for $6. Or save even more when you buy more. Whether you're gearing up for work, hitting the road, or powering through your next adventure, True North has the energy you need to save. Get more ways to save with True Rewards. Find the app in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Odyssey celebrates Earth Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are joined by Washington insider Dave Leventhal. Dave, good morning. Happy Bills game day.
Happy Bills game day, and let's hope for a W. Although, you know, I mean, sometimes there's a bumpy road to the ultimate path to success. So we'll see how things go.
That's true. I do believe we are undefeated at SoFi Stadium. So that's a little...
I like those odds.
Yeah, a little number there for everyone. Dave, so much going on, and we'll go back to last week. I'm sitting in the snow at Highmark Stadium when I get a text that President Joe Biden had pardoned his son, Hunter. Now, we heard for months that wasn't going to happen. How did we get to this point?
Yeah, we heard for months that wasn't going to happen, and we heard for months it wasn't going to happen from two pretty important sources. One was the White House and Karine Jean-Pierre, the spokesperson for Joe Biden in the White House, saying on several occasions that that just simply was not in the cards. It wasn't going to happen. And then more importantly, we heard from Joe Biden himself that this was out of the question, that he would uphold the jury's verdict in the criminal trial that Hunter Biden had been found guilty in. And separately, Hunter Biden had pleaded guilty to other crimes. And this involves everything from guns to taxation. And there may have been more coming down the pike, which is entirely possible. So this is a complete reversal from where Joe Biden was. Even people in his own party, Joe, are saying, hey, the president lied. The president didn't tell the truth. We took him at his word, and he went back on it. Now, Joe Biden has the right to do that, and Joe Biden can, as president, decide that he's going to do one thing and do another, but this is something that in the moment is definitely a blemish on Joe Biden, given the fact that he did such a 180 on something so utterly close to him, so personal, so within the context of his family and not just politics. But also, too, Democrats are worried, well, what does this mean going forward? Is this going to be something that Republicans use as a bludgeon against us for perpetuity? I think the answer, at least in the initial offing, is yes. And I think, Joe, this also brings up a bigger question as to whether the pardon is simply going to be a political tool going forward and nothing else, where the pardon power is going to be used, for example, by Democrats to shield their own from another incoming administration. And Donald Trump, of course, he used the pardon power 4 years ago in ways that Democrats found to be, they were aghast, found it to be completely outside the bounds of the Constitution, which is where the pardon power springs from. So we've got a lot, I think, to watch over the next couple of months, especially since Joe Biden is still president for another 7 weeks here, 6 weeks, and still could have some more pardons come forward.
Speaking of those more pardons, you know, there's been some rumors that people like Dr. Fauci and Liz Cheney might be on that list. Now, those are rumors that I'm hearing here in Buffalo, Dave. Is there any credibility to those rumors?
These are rumors that we're hearing a lot in Washington, D.C., too. And this speaks to that point about preemptive pardons. A big fear among Democrats is that the moment Donald Trump comes into office on January 20th of next year, that he's going to be going after anyone who he considers to be a political enemy or somebody who he thinks in his mind has broken the law or done something illegal or deserves punishment you name it. And if that happens and there's a weaponization of the Justice Department against those types of folks, just as Republicans have accused many Democrats of doing to Donald Trump and other Republicans, then you in essence have escalated the political war back and forth in a way that we haven't seen in modern political history. So the pardon power looms large in that kind of escalation scenario where Joe Biden, as president now, could say, all right, well, anything that Fauci may or may not have done, anything that Liz Cheney may or may not have done, has been wiped away for a period of time at his choosing. And that would really limit or kneecap Donald Trump, at least at the federal level, from doing anything that would involve an investigation or a prosecution of those folks or anyone else who Joe Biden has deemed to be free of responsibility for, again, anything they may or may not have done.
Does this idea have support amongst Democrats, or are people on the left saying, well, if you do this, then it will lose trust with the American people because it'll give the idea that something wrong had been done?
Yeah. Well, that's a big deal, too. And there also, too, I should note, is a line of inquiry out there, if you will, that says, well, maybe Joe Biden should pardon Donald Trump, which let's think about that in two ways. On one hand, that seems to be absurd because it would be Joe Biden wiping away anything that Donald Trump has been accused of or has been prosecuted for in two cases at the federal level. There, of course, are also the state level cases in Manhattan and in Georgia, which are not subject to the pardon power at the federal level. But also, too, it would put Donald Trump in kind of this weird, awkward position where if he was being pardoned, then there is an implication, an underlying implication, that Donald Trump had committed a crime and that Joe Biden is wiping that away. So Donald Trump, of course, has said, I'm innocent. I haven't done anything wrong. I don't need to be pardoned because I have committed no crime. I have done no wrong. I am free and clear, legally, ethically, morally, and otherwise. So that's something that seems to be unlikely at this point. But then again, you know, in politics these days, Joe, anything can happen. And I think that's something that, even if it's more a parlor game at this point, is something that the White House will be considering at some minimal level, at least, going forward.
Speaking of likely and unlikely, you know, we've heard so much talk about the president-elect's cabinet picks. And, you know, we've seen the meetings with people on Capitol Hill. As it stands right now, Dave, on this Sunday morning, are the Trump cabinet picks more or less likely than they seemed a week ago?
It very much depends on the person. So let's take somebody such as Pete Hegseth, the pick for Donald Trump to become defense secretary. This is a man who he was valedictorian of his high school class. He graduated with degrees from Princeton and Harvard. He had served quite honorably with many decorations in the U.S. military, and that is all to his credit. At the same time, too, there is an abundance of evidence that he has done some very bad things, questionable things, under the influence of alcohol over many years. He has been married three times and is a serial adulterer. He has been accused of rape and settled with the person who accused him in a civil fashion with an undisclosed amount of money paid to her. Although no criminal convictions or charges had ever been brought against him. But this is somebody, too, who is now facing accusations of financial mismanagement for two veterans nonprofit organizations that he ran that had very small budgets. And here he's being tapped to lead the Pentagon, which represents about 16% of the entire U.S. federal budget. We're talking tens and hundreds of billions of dollars. So, you know, if you can't manage a little nonprofit, can you manage the entire defense apparatus of the United States? These are the types of questions that the Senate is going to be grappling with. So it's entirely possible that would be, and I apologize for going long on him, but he's a pretty prominent one, that seems to be very, very much in jeopardy, and somebody who may pull out before he ultimately has an opportunity to go before the Senate. Other nominations are going to sail through, and those are not nearly as controversial, so it's definitely a mixed bag. Tulsi Gabbard, I think, is another one. The former Democratic congresswoman, presidential candidate as recently as 2020 for the Democrats, is in a chief national security intelligence position as to whether she is going to go forward, just given some of the very, open support or kind of alignment with foreign forces, including Russia. So that's something that is going to be a big deal, and questions that likely are going to come from the Senate when they have the opportunity to question such nominees.
Dave, we hear so much about DOGE with Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy. Obviously, that is not an actual division of government. How do they get confirmed? How do they get into their position? How does that all work out with
that's a great question, and one that hasn't been answered by the Trump administration. Right now, Musk and Ramaswamy are leading this organization, which, again, as you mentioned, not a formal part of the government in the sense that it is an actual agency or an actual department. So this is really sort of an advisory commission. But I'll just spend 20 seconds here on a little history. This is not the first time something like this has happened. You go back to the Clinton.
Power your next journey with True North convenience stores and Monster Energy. Stock up and stay energized when you grab two of your favorite Monster cans for $6. Or save even more when you buy more. Whether you're gearing up for work, hitting the road, or powering through your next adventure, True North has the energy you need to save. Get more ways to save with True Rewards. Find the app in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Odyssey celebrates Earth Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Some crimes are so shocking, they don't just make headlines, they forever change our society. I'm Katie Ring, host of America's Most Infamous Crimes. Each week, I take on one of the most notorious criminal cases. Each case unfolds across multiple episodes, released every Tuesday through Thursday, from the first sign that something was wrong to the moment the truth came out or didn't. Listen to and follow America's Most Infamous Crimes on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Clinton administration, Al Gore led a national partnership for reinventing government with many of the same questions that are being asked today. It's almost one of those, we've seen this movie before, this sounds familiar kind of situations. And they were talking back in the 90s about private sector efficiency being brought to government and treating taxpayers more like customers and cutting fat and red tape and getting rid of regulations. And they did a little bit around the margins. There were some improvements to the IRS, to the quality of treatment at VA hospitals, but there was never sort of that transformative, turn government inside out type of action that was taken then that an organization like that at least aspired to do more than it ultimately did. So Ramaswamy Musk, their commission, their government efficiency operation is going to face a pesky thing here. And it's called laws, because Congress still has to appropriate money. Congress still has to pass laws that are enforced by the executive branch. And Elon Musk or Vivek Ramaswamy or Donald Trump, they're not going to simply be able to come in and wave a magic wand and change anything that they want to, much as they would like to. So that's going to be a big tug of war and power play struggle. It remains to be seen exactly how that will work out to change certain things. Now, I would note that there are probably some issues that they grapple with, like daylight savings time. Should we make it permanent? That's going to be a little less controversial than should we get rid of the Department of Education in its entirety? So Congress may be, and there's bipartisan support for something like changing the nature of daylight savings time that may go forward. But again, we're not talking about transformative government reform here. We're talking about things around the margins, and I think that will be the story going forward of the DOGE, whether it is going to be transformative or if it's going to be something that makes a few recommendations that do go forward and maybe makes a thing or two here or there a little bit better. But you know, that's about it.
Dave, obviously yesterday I was buried in college football from noon until midnight. But one thing I did see was the president-elect speaking with the current first lady at the Notre Dame Cathedral. Any talk about those two being seen speaking before the service?
Yeah, and, you know, not surprising in the sense that Joe Biden and Donald Trump have talked a couple of times since the election. Joe Biden invited Donald Trump to the White House. We all saw the photos and the videos from that. They apparently talked briefly on Thanksgiving. So despite all of the acrimony between Donald Trump and Joe Biden, the two of them are at least playing a little bit of political patty cake as we go forward to January 20th, the day of the inauguration. And the fact that that Donald Trump and Jill Biden or somebody in the Biden family would be seen together is not shocking in that context. I think what is a little bit more abnormal relative to what we typically would have seen during a transition period is the transition itself. Donald Trump is not engaged in the transition process as it's fully set up by the U.S. government. He has not signed, for example, all the agreements that he needs to sign in order to have a transition that is as full and complete as it would be if he signed certain agreements with the current administration and ethics agreements. So that remains to kind of be an open tab on your web browser, if you will, for the Trump administration incoming to do or to not do. But yeah, it's definitely a visual that is striking, and just again, given that acrimony. And I wouldn't be surprised at all if we see more of Donald Trump and Joe Biden before they stand on the same riser at the U.S. Capitol, where, of course, we know what happened 4 years ago on January 6th, and that will be as striking an image, perhaps, as we've seen in the past many years.
Dave, you know, talking so much about the transition and the incoming Trump team, Democrats obviously still trying to figure out what happened in November. What are some of those conversations that they are having when talking about losing to Donald Trump?
Yeah, and those conversations are pitched and they are ongoing. And I think there's a number of different conclusions that Democrats have reached, but not really any solutions as to how to move forward. They've had their hat handed to them, and they are hurting, and they are going to have to deal for the next 2 years with the question of, all right, how are you going to win back the Senate or win back the House 2 years from now? And really nobody has come to any conclusion. I think one thing that you are going to see is a certain shift away from the older ways of doing things. You've already seen that in Congress with, for example, Representative Jamie Raskin appearing to succeed as the top judiciary Democrat in the House over Jerry Nadler, a New York Democrat who has been a voice against Republicans, but sort of a new generation of folks coming in. That is probably not the biggest thing that Democrats can be doing, but it is a sort of tacit acknowledgement that there's going to have to be something that fundamentally changes for Democrats to be in a position to start winning again after losing across the board in the most massive of ways during the 2024 election cycle.
Dave, overnight, the Assad regime fell to the rebels in Syria. What does that mean for the United States of America?
It means a very complex situation. At its face, it seems to be as wonderful a thing as you can imagine in Syria that Assad is gone. Talk about somebody who is a brutal dictator who has been that and more for his people, for the 50 plus years that his family has been in power. But what we get and what Syria gets after that is entirely unclear. The rebel movement is filled with jihadists. This is, you know, not necessarily a good, nice group of people who are going to come in, and there's no talk of democracy reigning in Syria or anything of the sort. So how this all plays out is a live ball at this moment in time as we speak. And it's so new, and it is so shocking and so surprising. It's not as if the rebels had come in with a nice bureaucratic game plan for how to govern as soon as they kicked Assad and his government out. But we do know that Assad, according to Russia, one of its main backers, has left the country. He has resigned his position as leader of Syria, and Damascus has fallen.
One more Capitol Hill question, as obviously a lot of the focus is on getting ready for the next administration, but is there any work left to be done on this outgoing Congress before the holiday break?
Absolutely. And they have a lame duck session, and it sounds like, well, they're not going to get anything done. They're all a bunch of lame ducks. But the opposite often is true during a lame duck session, because it's the last opportunity for Congress to leave its mark with the current congressional session, and it will be the last opportunity for Democrats, ostensibly for the next 2 years, although Republicans will have a very, very narrow majority to actually, you know, get some stuff done. I mean, Republicans right now do not control the Senate, and they do control the House, and it's divided government instead of Republican-controlled government in full, as it will be beginning next January, this coming January. So expect that there are going to be a number of different bills that are brought forward. It will be very curious to see how the budget gets kicked down the road again, likely in a big spending bill that is a live ball itself. And there are other certain priorities that have flown below the radar, but one, for example, that I've tracked for a long time, which is a bill that's pending in the Senate to ban lawmakers from buying and selling stocks, which has been a huge, huge problem in Congress in the sense that dozens of lawmakers have violated existing law on this, which has proven to be a huge problem, and that the current law is obviously not adequate to police this behavior. And there are a number of members of Congress, both Democrats and Republicans, who are buying and selling stocks actively, Joe, that are obvious conflicts with the work that they're doing in Congress. For example, people sitting on the House Armed Services or Senate Armed Services Committee and buying stock in Boeing or Lockheed Martin or other defense contractors and making money off of those investments while making massive decisions on how money in the government gets spent. And this is a broader question, and one that goes back to the DOGE committee with Vivek Ramaswamy and Elon Musk, in the sense that they have millions, even for Musk, billions of dollars tied up with the U.S. government, and decisions that get made about the government could profoundly affect their own personal portfolio. So put all of this, and we like to talk about false equivalency here. Well, this is not a false equivalency thing. This is a Democrat and Republican issue where you have people who are demonstrably benefiting off the government personally because of decisions that they are making that some would like to see made patently illegal, so that there is no conflict of interest and there is no self-dealing that's going on in government in the way that it is happening right now.
Dave, the Bills take on the Rams at 4:25. What's your prediction?
I'm afraid of a little bit of a Bills dip. I mean, you can't win every game in season as much as we would like to, but I think the Bills are going to squeak this one out. I'm going to say that this is going to be a little bit closer than what we've seen in the past couple of weeks, and I'm going to give it the Bills by a field goal, 31-28.
Are you looking forward to having Tom Brady doing the commentating?
No.
Yeah, me either. Dave Leventhal, hey, it's always great catching up with you, and I look forward to talking with you on Tuesday morning, as you'll be talking with Susan and Brian.
As do I. Go Bills.
Go Bills.
Power your next journey with True North Convenience Stores and Monster Energy. Stock up and stay energized when you grab two of your favorite Monster cans for $6. Or save even more when you buy more. Whether you're gearing up for work, hitting the road, or powering through your next adventure, True North has the energy you need to save. Get more ways to save with True Rewards. Find the app in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Odyssey celebrates Earth Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Life can feel overwhelming, but you don't have to go through it alone. On my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, I share openly and vulnerably about everything life brings us and what we can learn by living with our hearts a little bit more open. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on self-care, motherhood, healing, and more. You are enough, just the way you are. And this podcast is a reminder of that. Follow and listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.